All right, class, let's take up a high note from our last session. I don't know if you meditated on this or not, but you need to. We talk about the concept being renewed with kingdom thought pattern. We talked about the kingdom concept and value, our strength for daily living. Talk about us not being manipulated by men. See, now, in order to break out the cycle or the circle or any circumstance that you might be in now in ministry, I don't know who you're under, what the deal is, you're going to have to hear this clearly and have the wisdom of God how to become free. One of the things you can't permit is being manipulated by men. You can't become paralyzed by fear or failure or defeat. So I close last second telling you this type of leadership draws spiritual resources from heaven, all right? Live by God's grace, all right? And when that happens, you're breaking all the limitations of their own inadequacies and weaknesses. Now, the Lord usually tell me, I'll take you off on a little, I told you I would take you off. Hallelujah. The Lord usually tell me ahead of time when something is coming that I'm going to have to deal with. Now, he don't tell you the whole scenario. He'll tell you a part of it, but he don't tell you the whole thing. So you just have to be ready for whatever direction he leads you in. But I remember sitting on my porch at home, and the Lord told me a certain minister was going to call me. And then the Lord told me the story about the young prophet and the old prophet. When the young prophet was sent to a town to do something, the Lord told him no fellowship with nobody, but the old prophet got him and went in with the old prophet and lost his life. I knew that. So now I got to come down to my office. Many years ago, I came to the office, and the very person they said was going to call, called. I asked my secretary, I said, you sure it's not his son? I said, no, it's him. And so I get on the phone, and they have a meeting on prosperity. You know, I'm one of the leaders, one out of with money coming. And the man was on the other end of the line. He says, we have a meeting on prosperity and stuff. I need for you to come. And I just was quiet because God had already revealed to me what it was about. And he said to me, he says, I'll get back with you and let you know the date and the time. Well, when he said that, I didn't have the answer, but I already had the answer. I couldn't go, but with respect and honor, I just said, I could wait till that time and pray some more. Well, when he called me back, I finally said to him, I can't come. He said, oh, yeah, you can come. I said, no, sir, I can't come. Now, I never overrode him because he was one of my teachers that the Lord had spoken to me and told me don't go. I wouldn't get in that kind of argument with him. But I didn't go. And when I very respectful men went, and they all came back and told me that was for you, to stop you. That's the only thing we could see. And I knew it wasn't the man who called me was doing it. It actually was somebody else in the family that wanted to try to stop me. But you know, the Lord already told me I can't be stopped. If I follow his plan, his purpose, love people, do what he told me to do. That's why we're here today. That's why I'm not only teaching you, but as you're listening, there are some things being imparted to your spirit that you're going to catch on to. I've been through quite some things, and sometimes I'll share some things with you. I was on a large board. I don't know if I told you this. And one day the Lord told me to resign from it. I mean, it was shock. Because, I mean, I wasn't qualified per se in the natural, but in the spirit I was. But I resigned. And sometimes I'll say things kind of odd, but you got to let the Lord reveal it to you. Now, so in this paradigm shift in leadership is what I'm trying to share with you. We need Jesus, the forerunner, to lead us. We have not walked this way before. We're in the last days, and the future is evolving so quickly that it will take a perceptive leadership to keep abreast with its changes and find an apostolic strategy to be effective in it. Now, I have no worry, no fear whatsoever. I think that I'm walking in the divine plan of God with the school, with the ministry, with the television broadcast, with the churches that are under me, men and women who are training over me all over the world. I have no limitation and constantly having visitation from the Spirit of God. Only one thing is certain. God had been there in the future, and he knows what it would be like. So I'm the Lord, not changed now. So we got him. We just got to follow his ways of doing things. Those who know him, class, and walk with him are qualified to lead this generation. Those who know him. Now, let's talk about popularity. That's a dangerous word. That when a preacher becomes popular. I don't think popularity and real kingdom power can stay in the same place. Now, you know, people know you. I mean, anywhere I go, people know me. But ain't nothing popular about it. It's the power. So let's see what this would have effect on your life, your family, your ministry, your business, whatever you're doing. And I want you to get these words. We need to be guided in the battle. We need to be guided. One, the heat of the battle is intensified. Number two, the demonic onslaughts of Christian church are getting more pronounced. I mean, they're loose, man. They're loose. They go to church with beach slippers on, drinking coffee, I mean, some places. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a casual place. We need a strong leadership that is able to stand in the heat of the battle and wage a good warfare of faith. We need to learn how to build in the Spirit effectively and putting down the strongholds of the enemy. Now, I tell you, and I'm bragging on God, but in my ministry, I very seldom had to go to the hospital, very seldom had to counsel, very seldom counseling. I think I built them to a certain extent. They know who they are, and they're operating in Ephesians 4, 13 through 16. It's powerful, man. I watch it. I visited a lady today who had a paralysis that hit one side of her body. I walk in there, and she said, I got it. She's strong. She came back, came out of it. About to go home in the next 2 or 3 days. Did it herself. Use the faith that she had learned under our ministry. Now, we need the power to discern demonic activity. Church, you cannot really function in a spiritual activity if you cannot discern demonic activity. And not only discern it, but deal with it. Do you hear me? Not only discern it, but deal with it, that if there's another one sitting there, they're not going to try. You have to know how to do that. The wave of deception, manipulation, and witchcraft has already infiltrated the church life and government. Whoa! The wave of deception, manipulation, and witchcraft has already infiltrated the church life and government. So what they got now? They got ministers fighting each other. On screen, on TV, they want to find one another weakness, and they talk about this. But we really need to be praying for one another and preaching the gospel and getting people saved. Church splits, liberalism, and disunity have taken away the spiritual strength of many churches. And violation of the word of God, violation of Romans chapter 1. You read it. There's a violation of Romans chapter 1, and the only correction going to be for it is Romans chapter 8. Yeah, it's a big deal now. Everybody coming out of the closet, and somebody one of them right. No, the Bible right, you wrong. That's all to it. You got to know that. The Bible right, and you wrong. And there's no one that God can't deliver if they yield to him. The rising of men and women who refuse to change, who will resist any change in the church has become an increasingly important issue. Now, I'm thankful because the people who were with me, I trained them so long. They trust me, and we're going on to a higher and higher height. These resistors are not allowing the church to move into the prophetic and apostolic dimensions, which God is releasing and restoring today. Because you're going to find them. These resistors are not allowing the church to move into the prophetic and apostolic dimensions, which God is releasing and restoring today. Now, remember we read in Ephesians 2:20, that he built it upon the apostle, the prophet, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, the apostle and the prophet does not equal Jesus, but they got an assignment from Jesus to preach Jesus in a certain way. That's the best way I can say it. Well, and that's another thing now. We need to stand up in righteousness. And I always, for this, I came out the street when I was about 25, many, many years ago. When I came to church, I stood up for righteousness and stand up for it ever since. The time we are living in is a specific time of separation and judgment. God is bringing a time of repentance and cleansing within his temple. He is purifying the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:3. The spiritual leadership who will bear the ark of the covenant and who would minister unto him. So cleansing, holiness, sanctification, all of that is so important for to wear the anointing properly. You wear a clean anointing, nothing to hide. There's a cleansing and subsequent separation that is coming within the church. A cleansing. Those who have been proven will be promoted. What? Those who have been proven will be promoted. That means those who have not been proven will not be promoted. Those who are prepared and ready will enter into this new dimension of his power and grace. Now watch this. Promoted, proven, promoted, prepared, power. Proven, promoted, prepared, power. That's a grace I want to be upon you. And you can do it. You can do it. Because I believe all of y'all love God. So just stick with it. Now, here's another aspect. We need to be prepared for God's invasion. What do you mean by that? A new wave of supernatural power is soon going to be seen manifested in the church. Now, I've been teaching on the supernatural. I'll teach on the supernatural for a long time. Because the church is a supernatural church with demonstration of the spirit and of power. And our Father is the God of the supernatural. It's not no normal pattern. It's supernatural. So we need to prepare for God's invasion. A new wave of supernatural power is soon going to be seen and manifested in the church. The power of God will be released through the revelation and power gifts in the most unprecedented ways. The gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning the Spirit, special faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. We're going to see an expansion of these things in these last days when the church take over in power. The power of God will be released through the revelation and power gift in the most unprecedented ways. Supernatural signs and wonders are going to break forth in the life of the congregation. I love that. Not in the pulpit, in the life of the congregation. You know, the Bible never emphasized lining people up, laying hand on them. We got all this instituted. These people need to know how to lay hand on other people. You know, it take you a little while to work out of it. Now, I just come out of a big meeting, a prosperity reformation. I think I laid hand on everybody up in here. but I was passing a money coming demonstration anointed on them. And that's why I laid a hand on them. A new dimension of spiritual phenomena breaking into the experiences of the church. It was more than just physical manifestation. Listen now. Of heightened anointing or the consciousness and conviction of sin. It would be more than just physical manifestation. It'd be more than that. Thank you so much. It would be more than just physical manifestation of heightened anointing or the consciousness and conviction of sin. It would be an awesome manifestation of God's presence in his people and in his church gathering. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about, I see people anointed and I see them walking with God. I see them living consecrated lives. I see them ready to flow in another dimension at any time. The leadership, I got it, I'm good. The leadership must be able to handle a changing world environment. Make sure I don't get all wet up here. Learn to face the reality of vicious spiritual battle that's already raging against the church. In other words, there are going to be some spiritual battles, but don't be afraid of it. If you're anointed, you overpower it. Amen? Are you listening? Now, all this information is pregnant. Pregnant for the present moment, pregnant for the shifting. Rise above the spirit of control, manipulation, and witchcraft, which are rising within the church to cripple it forward momentum. So we got to rise against that. Shut it down. Don't permit it. Be separated to fulfill the high calling of their ministry. Now, as I told you earlier, I have 11 grandchildren. I have 4 children. I got all my children are married, so I have 1 daughter. Her husband is like a son to me. I got 3 sons married, 3 girls. They're like daughters to me. Now, what precious to me, matter of fact, even tonight we're going out to celebrate Mom's birthday. And all the grandchildren, everybody will be there. That means so much to me. I almost get angry when I can't have it. Because I don't run around, I never run around with nobody. Only person I spend time with in my family. I have leadership. I got an inner circle who travel with me and my sons in the gospel. And then I got 12 that travel with me. I could be around them because they understand who I am and they give me great respect. But I don't hang with many people. So my family, that's why I told you earlier, train your family, love your family, get them around you. And you say, when I'm sitting at the table with my family, I'm at total peace. Because I know my son got me covered. And I'm talking about 4 sons, including my son-in-law. Be separated to fulfill the high calling of their ministry. Be found faithful in little, will be set in charge of many cities. Well, I'm a living example of that. I was faithful in the small, now I'm in charge of many cities. Columbus, Ohio is one. I just called one. Having a governmental anointing released upon them. The challenge to the front line. Leaders who see the future. That's what I want in you. The church leadership need to march in front of the rest of the body of Christ as they lead the church into the next millennium. Listen, they need to be marching into the front line of the battlefield, providing a strength of leadership that is dependable and fearless as we press into the uncharted waters of destiny. Now, any member, you talk to any member of my church, they'll know that I'll fight my battle for the things of God. Leadership today must have prophetic, come on, perception of the future. Prophetic perception of the future. That prophet anointing come in. and have an ability to clearly interpret the past moves of God. You see, we don't need all this fancy preaching, all this fancy hooping. I've been down those lines, Baptist boy, Catholic boy. We don't need all that. We need somebody walking with divine substance and ready to submit it to the people, that the people can walk in the same strength. So let me read that to you again. Leadership today must have prophetic perception. I want you to write it down, prophetic perception. And they tell you what prophetic perception is, of the future. And have the ability to clearly interpret the past move of God and bring them together and then push it forward. God have called us to allegiance only to the restored truth and not the forms, style, practices, method, or personal preferences. Now this is where the church been made a whore. This is where the church have been raped to a certain degree. The church need to be restored to the truth about, especially about the fivefold ministry gift, and not the forms. You got a lot of forms. I've seen them. Style. I've seen a lot of style. Practices. A lot of people. Methods. And personal preferences. No, you don't have no personal preference. You got to move with the Spirit of God. What the Holy Ghost said, you got to let that go, see. The success of my ministry is based on following the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues over an hour every day, sometimes 2 or 3 hours. That's the success of ministry. I would like for the student of this school to come out anointed. Not so much educationally, but to pick up the realm of the Spirit, to be able to flow in the Spirit no matter what come up. We can maintain continuity to what God had been doing in the past only if we walk and live with the prophetic perception and insight that God has given us in our generation. That's powerful. That is powerful. We need to embrace the best of the past and allow it to be relevant to be seen in the present. We need to receive apostolic blueprints and the heavenly pattern for changes in these perilous times. Oh my. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Let me look here a minute. Finally, for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to get it to you. Stick with me a minute. First Chronicle chapter 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do, the head of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. You see how that is? How they work together? Now, I'm thankful for what LTMA, the organization that I lead, that actually, the 12 not going to let anybody in there who's not going to flow. And we ain't letting nobody come in with their apostolic ideas and their prophetic ideas. Everybody going to be a student, and then if you got it, you got it. If you don't got it, we'll get it out of you and put something that's supposed to be in you. But just listen to this. We need to receive apostolic blueprints and the heavenly pattern for change in these perilous times. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it revealed the children of Issachar, which was men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Time. What you ought to do. See, that's so important. And you can't do that without the revelation of the fivefold ministry gift as it should be. Prepare the church for the future. Today, leadership must read the time like the sons of Issachar and apply the heavenly pattern without compromise. Without compromise. Now, if you try to build a ministry on money, you're going to compromise. If you try to build a ministry on popular singers behind you, you're going to compromise. Try to build a ministry on popular musicians who are playing for you, you're going to compromise. If you try to build a ministry on accolades that I see that I'm fully against, but I know that these things have been taught in the church, these different activities, dancing and all that stuff, flags and all that stuff, I'm not for that. And I got some in my ministry doing that, but I'm working with them. I just want them to catch a hold of it. We don't want to hurt people's feeling. You know, people can get greatly hurt if they think they have a great ministry, but it's not a great ministry. And so the environment has to be conducive for moves of the Spirit. And if any regular thing get in there as a pattern, we keep pursuing it and think it's popular because we had to get it from somebody else. They didn't just jump up in the church. You, in a service, you don't want to attract no attention to anyone but God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. In other words, it's a matter of getting in the way, getting out of the way, and flow. Get in the way, get out of the way, and flow. In other words, let the Holy Ghost take over, not emotion. Now, emotion seems like the Holy Ghost, so some churches really think they're hot on the spot. But it's a thing that you can apply to your everyday life, which is so important. So we got to prepare the church for the future, that she won't compromise. And then adopting strategies, methods, style, and paradigm of thought pattern, attitude that will prepare the church for the future. That's all in the Spirit. The church today is struggling to cope with the present overwhelming needs of our society. They don't know how to tell them. You know, I mean, they don't even know the power of a seed. The seed answers all the questions about production. And I've noticed over the years, people teach on the seed, but they don't know how the seed run the whole kingdom. Jesus was a seed. And I'm going on with that. The humanistic philosophies of ministry, which have invaded the church, have kept us in a rut of deception, thus forcing us to lament on our past, future, and inadequacy. See, that's what Satan wants. But the real anointing will change all that. Shut that down. Right? Keeping the church focused on purpose. I'm going to go through this right quick. I might need to stop. Keeping the church focused on purpose. The drastic changes that are taking place in our environment and society are forcing the church to compromise on its original calling and purpose. Look at the church. Look how they dress. Look how they're dancing. They're dancing like they're at a concert. I won't call it a good name. But like they're at a concert. Half naked, shaking. Women up there with pants with their knees out. What kind of mess is that? Men there with their shirts all out, not dressed properly. The church leadership today must be in touch with today's changing society so as to keep abreast with the development of the world we are aiming to reach. We must understand global changes so that we can provide a dynamic leadership to break into a new horizon in world evangelism. Now, you're welcome to join. You are in school. The app that we have here at Word of Life Christian Center, Heaven Christian Word, is apostolic. We are winning souls every day to the kingdom. I'm in there with them. I ask God to give me two souls every day. And you'll be amazed at the wisdom God will give you. I'll tell you one example. My wife, I took her to the store to pick something up, so I always park on the curb. And I saw my daughter, my blood daughter, come out of the store. I blow it on her. When I blow it on her, a man thought I was blowing for him, and he came over. So when he's on the way over, I said, God, I know what it is. And when he got to the car, I said, I really was blowing for my daughter, but maybe I was blowing for you also. Are you born again? He said, sir, I don't know what that is. I said, would you like to be a child of God and invite Jesus in your heart? He said, yes, sir. I said, bow your head. I'm sitting in the car. He's standing out there. Got him saved. And I give him a pamphlet to read on the new birth. And he said, sir, thank you so much. I needed that. I walked off. I just did it. I asked the Lord, for, I don't know how they coming. I blew my horn for my daughter. This man thought I was blowing on him. Plumb stranger to me. God brought him right over to my car. Got him born and got him saved. I want you as ministers of the gospel, or those of you in pursuing the ministry, to take evangelism serious. I would like for all of you all who are in the school to join the app and start witnessing, start listening, how to win people one-on-one to Christ. It's the second part of this vision. It took me 20 or 30 years to get it, how to do it. I was in such an onslaught of traditional religion. And then the Lord showed me this. And I'm not computer savvy. In other words, I don't know about all that. I got my sons and my team here work with me. They know all about it. I just tell them what I need and they get it done. But I would like for you to join the app, the witnessing app. You call the ministry and get on it and put your name on it. Every time somebody gets saved, we all witness and say glory. This will be a great part of impacting your ministry. No, it's no requirement. Just be open to lead somebody to Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll see you next time.